Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. It's Sunday morning. It is pouring down rain. It's 35 degrees on Peachtree. Turning into the studio today, right on Peachtree, there was a giant flood zone. Two police cars blocking it so people didn't go through what looked like a river on Peachtree, kind of right in the Peachtree and Spring Street area. But we're not doing traffic. We'll do that at 9:18. We're talking money today because we had a drop of over 600 points on the Dow on Friday and a significantly more throughout the week. Kind of a rough week. 1,095 points on the Dow loss in for this past week. So I want to start out today with a story and a reaction I had to this story and why it matters for you as an investor. And you're going to be reading, if you open up the newspaper on Monday or you watch any of the news channels, you're going to say, this was the worst week for the Dow in 2 years, and it's going to scare you. And the story that I want to discuss today has to do with a headline that I grabbed right out of a financial publication. And the headline is this: a drop of more than 600 points in the Dow is very, very rare. That was the headline. I don't know if someone from the first or second grade wrote that headline, but it caught my attention. And I immediately said to myself, what a stupid headline. What a ridiculous story to say how rare a point drop like this is. Because really, it's typical. It's this Wall Street, typical Wall Street writers. They're going to spin up. They're going to spin up the fear level. They're going to exacerbate what really happened. So we're going to talk through this today. And there are some reasons why the Dow dropped 1,000 points. So for the week, Dow Jones down 4.1% on the week. That's a big move to the downside for just a week. S&P 500 down almost 4% on the week. But there's a lot of context around that. And we're not standing on the edge of a cliff about to go over. This is not the end of the world. But there are an awful lot of reasons why this is happening and why you need to understand kind of where we are in this cycle. So I thought this is a really good place to start. And this is the story of why this headline that grabs out and says, hey, 600 points, it's a mess, it's very rare, it's this scary, ominous headline. I want to go and understand that a whole lot better because there's a lot of implications on why it matters for you as an investor. So good morning, welcome to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning. And last week we had a ton of calls and it was a rainy day, a lot like it is today. And maybe folks are kind of hunkered down in the house and maybe in the kitchen. And this is you're going to just kind of nuzzle up next to the fire and listen to Money Matters. And we'll take lots of calls and questions this week here. So if you've kind of, if this week kind of woke you up a little bit, and if you've been lulled to sleep by a market that's barely moved up or down, just slowly gone higher, it's almost been like a CD rate of return, except much better than a CD. But the volatility of a bond for the stock market over the last 2 years, almost no speed bumps. And that changed this week. That's over. And it was a very nice, placid ride while it lasted. But we expected volatility to come back, and it's here. And it came back with a vengeance this week. So it makes you kind of just wake up and think a little bit about, hey, I haven't been really paying attention to my 401k. I haven't been paying attention to my investment accounts. I hadn't been really, I kind of just forgot about it. And today you've woken up a bit. Then we're happy to answer those questions and help you understand if you're at a kind of a crossroads or you're thinking about, hey, which direction do we go with our retirement plan? Or do I do this Roth account? Or do I, my company is saying that I can take a pension that's monthly, but they also could give me a lump sum. Which one's better for my family? We are here to give you objective financial advice on a Sunday morning. That's what we've done. We're now in our 10th year of Money Matters. And of course, many years before that, with my predecessor, Mike Cavanaugh here. So this would be the 27th year, I believe, of Money Matters, and it starts right now. So good morning. The phone lines, by the way, they're open, 404-872-0750. Again, the number 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. So we're kind of diving into this headline that kind of got me irritated. I was actually sitting in a parking lot before going to get takeout pizza at Vinny's in Midtown for my kids. And I saw this on my phone, and I started reading it, and I started writing about it. And the headline is this: a drop of more than 600 points in the Dow is very, very rare, and it's scary. And I realized something after I thought, oh, what a ridiculous story, is that I've talked about something related to what this headline's saying. And it's just finally coming to fruition. The Friday sell-off is a perfect example of the law of large numbers, which is simply just really math. That's all it is. The law of large numbers is just math. There have been eight other times in the past where the Dow's dropped 600 points or more in a single day. All of that, by the way, happened in the last 18 years. Every single time we get one of these 600-point drops, they have been it's been a more shallow drop than what we just experienced on Friday because of the way the math works. So every single time, if you go back on all those other examples, the other eight times this has happened, it's been Friday's drop was a much shallower drop on a percentage basis. And the percentage, that's what really counts. That's what really matters. So as the Dow, or any index for that matter, moves higher and higher and higher, 1 point means less and less and less on a percentage basis. And the higher the Dow goes, 100 points, it seems as though it doesn't matter how high the Dow goes. 100 points still creates a headline. Because maybe it's because it's triple digits, triple digit gains, triple digit losses. But it's not what it used to be. It's not even close to what it used to be. 600 points is not what it used to be. But for some reason, psychologically, we feel as though a triple digit move on the Dow is some major occurrence. And quite frankly, it still might feel like a major occurrence to most people because it wasn't that long ago that 100 points on the Dow or 100-point move on the Dow was a big deal. Give you a couple of examples. If you go back to September of 2008, there was a Monday where the Dow dropped 770 points. That stung because the Dow closed at 10,365. That was almost a 7% drop in a day. That's a big move. Wednesday, October 15th, 2008, Dow dropped 733 points, landing at about 8,600. That was almost an 8% drop in a day. So you go back over the course of history and you look at all the periods of time when the Dow moved lower by 600 points or more, and the percentages were tremendously different than what just happened this week. So this week, a drop of 665 points, that's a 2.5% drop. Nothing to sneeze at. But a 2.5% move, very different than in the past when the Dow has moved in this same point fashion, very different on a percentage basis. Go back to 2009 as the market started to bottom and move higher. 120 points was almost a 2% move. Back in March of 2009, a 600-point move represented, it was 8 or 9%. That would have been an 8 or 9% move in one day. Today, 600 points or 665, like we saw on Friday, was 2.5%. That's a large move in any given day, especially when the average volatility over much of market history has been about 0.75% per day. So 2 or 3%, it's again, nothing to sneeze at, but it's also a very manageable move, manageable drop, and quite frankly, to be expected. It's not welcome, though, and that's where the human emotion part of this comes in. It's not welcome. You know, you don't rally or cheer for markets to go down. You don't want to see it, but you have to expect it. So the bottom line here, and I want to go into some of these reasons, but in seeing what has been happening over this past week, the market didn't die last week. just because it gave back 4%. Quite the opposite is true. The market's finally alive again. You know, the Bucky Bronco was asleep for a long time. And there have been barely a blip since February of 2016. If you look at a chart, there's just the last 2 years, it's been a nice, steady escalator higher. That changed last week. And we are back. The bucking bronco is back. Another couple statistics here, just to show you how asleep the market was. All right, so let's go back to so the S&P 500 in the beginning of this year, before this week, had gone up by 7.5% in just the first 18 trading days. 18 days in 2018. So that in its own right is a ridiculously rapid move higher in any market. If it were to continue to do that at that same pace, so take it 7.5% in 18 days, the market would go up 158% 1 year. Never has happened, never even close. So we knew that pace could never be sustainable. And the market, or the if you look at the Dow or the S&P 500, it had gone 99 days without a drop of even 0.6%. So this week, that happened on Tuesday. Again, it got even bigger on Friday. But that kind of the movement or lack of movement has been unprecedented. And again, the market was asleep. Today, it's awake. It didn't die this week. It actually finally woke up, and that is to be expected. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss. I'm here every Sunday morning to take your calls and your questions. The number in the studio, phone lines open, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We'll go to the phones. We return. You're listening to Money Matters right here on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Here we are on a Sunday morning, a rainy Sunday morning. It's 35 degrees. And we're talking about this week in the stock market, where we have the Dow Jones down 1,000 points, over 1,000 points, almost 1,100 points, 4.1% for the week. We had gone 99 days on the S&P 500 without a drop of more than 0.6%. Almost 100 days without a speed bump. So I wanted to bring back the correction history that is so important just to remember, because again, I think of the market as a roller coaster. I think of it as a bucking bronco for some reason. I think it's because I spent a year of my early youth in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And I always have a picture of the Wyoming license plate with the bucking bronco. And I think that's why. But the reality here is the corrections, even though the last 2 years, the bucking bronco has been asleep, that's a very rare occurrence. So let's go back and remember on average how often corrections come. There have been about 14, well, there's been 14 between 10 and 20% corrections since 1965. There've been another 11 corrections of more than 20%. So how long does it take to fight back to even on average? Well, for 10% corrections, it's about 4 months. For 20% corrections, those are full bear markets, it takes at least on average about 24 months. The markets get hit all the time. And this again is important to remember. On average, the market corrects 5%. And remember, that's been over a year and a half since this has happened. On average,
it's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. On a Sunday, you know, it's Super Bowl Sunday. We haven't even talked about Super Bowl Sunday. You know, and obviously as our home base here in Atlanta, after last year's Super Bowl, the last thing we want to see is the Patriots win. I'm actually from Philadelphia. I rarely talk about being an Eagles fan, but that's what I grew up as. Now, I didn't grow up in Philadelphia. I was out a good hour and a half outside of Philadelphia, closer to Lancaster County, kind of Amish country. But I did grow up, I remember specifically listening to Eagles games on radio while I worked at Northbrook Orchards in the pumpkin section. in the pumpkin patch weighing pumpkins during Halloween. If you got within 1 pound, you got a free pumpkin. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here. I'm your host, Wes Moss. Dow drops over 1,000 points on the week. Market's finally awake. Again, none of these corrections ever feel good. You don't root for one. You're not cheering for the market to go down. But as you know, it's to be expected. We went through a quick, I'll give you a quick history of correction frequency update. Historically, markets, you go back to 1928, this helps us understand the average timeline for corrections. On average, we get 5% corrections every 10 weeks. We haven't had a 5% correction in over 400 market days. That's over a year and a half. So, giant departure from history. 10% corrections on average happen every 33 weeks. Again, we haven't had a 10% correction for over 500 trading days, over about two years. We haven't had a 20% correction for over 2,200 trading days, almost 9 years. But on average, we're supposed to get 20% corrections, or at least on an average basis, every two to two and a half years. Let's call it 2 to 3 years. So, of course, we are certainly overdue for a correction in a period of time where we have seen an unprecedented lack of volatility, an unprecedented lack of volatility. And to some extent, it makes sense because we had an unprecedented level of volatility going through the great financial crisis when our economy almost completely collapsed at the end of 2007, all the way through 2008, and the beginning of 2009, we got out of the recession, the summer of 2009, and those were dark economic days. Those, and of course, the market was an absolute mess during that period of time, and we have come a very, very long way since then. The phone lines are open. I'm going to go to the phones now. So if you've thought about, we're here on Sunday mornings to be an objective resource for you to call in and just get another opinion. I mean, we're not going to give you necessarily a perfect, exact answer on a Sunday morning about what your taxes are going to be next year. We can give you an idea under the new GOP tax plan. We did tons of shows towards the end of the year to try to help folks understand what the tax cut means for them. It might be a question about an IRA or Roth account or your 403B. It might be something to do with a pension that you're getting offered by your company or a lump sum, and you've got to make a decision on that. It might be a real estate question. Hey, should we buy a second house? I've been trying to rent a place, can't find a place. Should we buy a place? It's a lot harder to do that today. Do I hold, sell, downsize, refinance a mortgage? So there's a lot to think about when it comes to your finances. Not to mention, we've got to pay for kids' college. Do I use a 529 plan? What are the new rules have changed for that? So there's a lot that swirls around. And we're here on a Sunday to try to quarterback you to the right, either getting you to the right answer or pointing you in the right direction of the right answer. And we take a lot of pride in doing that objectively as humanly possible here on Sunday mornings. It's what we get up on Sundays to do. We love it. The number in the studio. Phone lines open, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We're going to start with James in Atlanta. James, good morning. Welcome to the show. How can we help?
I was calling to ask you a question about portfolio reallocation. I'm eligible to retire this year, and I'll only be 50 years old. I have an IRA.
Hold on. You will be 50?
Yes.
Okay. Are you thinking about actually retiring, or this is just a pension? You're going to start to get a pension at 50?
No, I'm actually going to retire after 25 years of working for the agency I work for.
Got it. Wow. That's an early retirement. Wow. I like that.
Yeah, it was like working for the military. If you work for the government, you get certain benefits after working for 25 years.
Sure.
But what I'm looking at, I've got three forms of retirement. I've got a lifetime pension, and I've taken money that I've earned extra and invested it in rental properties, and I hold about six rental properties, and I've got an IRA. And I'm looking at taking the IRA. I'm allowed to take it and make a withdrawal without a penalty. and pay off my primary residence. And I was wanting to know what to do with the rest of it.
Well, a couple of thoughts here. So one of the best ways to head into retirement is to have multiple and different ways of generating income when you're done working. And that's, it sounds as though you've set this up like that. So you have a pension, that's one. You've got rental income from houses, totally separate, that's two. Then you have your investment income, that's three, from an IRA. And hang on, I'm going to come back to that in a second. But also, do you qualify for Social Security through the, or is that getting offset because of the nature of your employment before?
That's getting offset.
Okay, so your pension is that really kind of a combination of social and who you've worked for all these years.
Right.
Got it. Now, let me ask you this. So you just said, let's go back to your IRA. You just mentioned that your IRA is penalty free. At your age, what kind of IRA are we talking about here? Because that's awfully young to be able to take money out of the IRA without a penalty.
It's because I'm a federal employee and I have a special dispensation for Congress that if you're 50 years old when you retire, for that year, you can take out money without a 10% penalty.
Got it. And it sounds like that's similar to the rules of a 457. It sounds a little bit like this, but this is even more specific than that. And it, do they give you just a 1 year, or is it just open once you hit 50, James?
It's open once you hit 50.
Got it. So you can pull money out without the 10% penalty. Of course, it's going to be taxed like anything else.
Right.
And how much are you thinking about? So the question then in utilizing that money from the retirement account, again, you're going to pay off a house, or what are you thinking about doing?
My primary residence. The reason I'm considering doing this is because I have two other forms of income.
Got it. And how much in order to pay off what's the mortgage balance? How much?
About $90,000.
Okay. And what would that leave you then in retirement money in the liquid side of the equation? Because the great thing I like about it has this shaping up. You've got pensions one, rental income two, and then the third income source would be you generating income from that retirement money. How much is left once you pay off the mortgage?
About 45%.
About half.
And I've got about $200,000 in there, and I'm wanting to take what I need to get the house paid off. And then the rest of it, I'm looking to reinvest it in like a Roth or something and just let it sit there.
Well, so here's my thought. I do like the thought of getting rid of the mortgage. Of course, that's one of that's a pillar of early retirement. It's a pillar, or it's a checkpoint I want everybody to get to. The only problem I have with that, James, is that if you're doing it in a year where you still have ordinary income, your tax bracket's fairly high, in order to pull out, even though you get to avoid a 10% penalty, you still have taxes. So if you pull out 90 grand, if you need 90 grand to pay off the mortgage, you still have to pull out a gross number to net down to 90, right?
Right.
And in order to do that, let's say you're in the 25% tax bracket, right? So you've got to pull out 120 grand to net down to 90.
Right.
Now your $200,000 IRA or retirement account, doesn't sound like it's an IRA, but your retirement account is going to go all the way down to $80,000. And James, you've now just taken your adjusted gross income in 2018 and you've lopped on a giant chunk of income, another 120 grand. So you've now taken your 25 bracket or what may be a 20, and you've accelerated your tax bracket. So on one side, I love the thought of paying off the mortgage, but I think it's too punitive to you from a tax standpoint to do that. Don't, just because you don't have to do the 10% penalty, don't forget that the real chunk out of your hide comes from the tax bill that you're now accelerating if you do this in such a big lump sum. Here's a way around that. I would think about, look, you're not even 50. So my thought would be accelerate your payments over the course of the next 3 years so that you're gonna pay it off soon. You pay it off in your early 50s, but you get to spread out how much your income taxes go up those first couple of years. So I'd much rather see you pay the mortgage off, let's say in an accelerated fashion over the next 3 to 5 years, as opposed to pulling all of it out in one chunk this year and having a giant tax bill back to Uncle Sam. That to me is the solution here, James. I love the thought of getting rid of the mortgage. It's a no-brainer, but you have to have some patience in order to do that. And I would spread that out over the next 3 to 5 years as opposed to doing it all in one lump sum. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We're going to continue to go to the phones here. The number in the studio. So whether it's a mortgage payoff question, that was a mortgage and retirement account, a question that also dealt with other income sources. So if you have a question like James, give us a call. Happy to go through that process with you and make sure that you're not making a big investment or tax mistake right out of the gate, or at least give you some guidance on that. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750. Or if you're calling from Texas, Michigan, California, Seattle, Oklahoma, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Phil joins us on the line from Marietta. Phil, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. What's going on? How can I help?
Good morning, Wes. I missed the first part of your show. I don't know if you addressed it or not, but I'm interested in your opinion on the market decline this past week. It seems like it started out with the announcement from Amazon and Berkshire and Goldman Sachs about starting their own insurance company, but it seemed like it just continued to go down even after that news. So I'm just wondering if you think that this is a temporary thing or if we're in for a long-term bull market.
Well, I think it's an important question that we're all probably wondering here on a Sunday after the Dow dropped almost 1,100 points in the week, 665.6 points on Friday. And I think a couple of thoughts here, and I haven't gotten to this yet, but since you're calling about it, we've gotten into an environment where good news now is actually, to some extent, bad news. And we had great economic news throughout the week. Consumer confidence is strong, employment is strong, wages are starting to go up, and that starts to get the market worried because that means, hey, maybe we're getting closer to the end of the economic cycle. So we've got to go quick news, weather, traffic break, Phil. I'm going to come back and try to get to your question about why this is happening. Should you be worried? So stay tuned. You're listening to Money Matters right here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.
Now back to Wes Moss of the money and investing advice you need.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. And I want to get back to, so if you're just tuning in, we of course had a big, I'm not going to even call it a shock, but the market finally woke up. We've had the unprecedented low volatility. Now we're rapidly getting back to more normal volatility. Volatility index spiked this week. Dow dropped almost 1,100 points, down 4%. S&P down 3.85%. So wait a minute. All of a sudden, someone threw a stone into a very, very calm lake. And there's ripple effects. And that's just starting. And Phil was just on the line and said, hey, Wes, how nervous should we be about this? Is it the start of something bigger? Is this the end of the rope? And I think that's what everybody worries about every time we go into some sort of correction mode. And I think part of this is that, and part of the reasoning, and I think this is a very important piece of this, is that the economic news that we continue to get, it's really still solid news. And in the short run, that's actually bad news for the market. So economic good news has started to turn into bad news for stocks. Part of the market angst can be traced back to the extraordinary strength of this red hot economy. Well, maybe red hot is not the right way to describe it. Maybe I should say a warm economy that is starting to hit a temperature better described as hot. So we're moving from warm to starting to get to the point where it might be hot, call it hot, or maybe start to bubble over a little bit. Remember, unemployment is already down to 4.1%. We just had a jobs report. The wages are starting to climb. We've always said that when inflation or wage inflation gets to 4%, we start to get into a very likely scenario where we end up in recession. Wages did move higher on Friday's jobs report. Big part of the sell-off, big part of the catalyst of why we sold off. It clipped in at a rate of about 2.9%. That piece of the economic equation, that's good news for workers. It's good news for you and me. Our wages are going up. But it can also foreshadow the end of the economic cycle, the end of the expansion. But not immediately. It doesn't happen right away. And we're just getting closer to the end of this expansion. So we're at 2.9% of wage inflation. The danger zone is 4. That could happen over the course of the next 6 months. Could take 2 more years. But it makes the market nervous that we're getting closer to the end of the economic cycle. So I don't believe that we're going to just tip over into recession over the next month. We're just not there yet. There's too much economic good news coming. Tax reform is just starting to kick in. But from a market perspective that needs to take some breathing room, some consolidation, wake back up and be a more normal, volatile market, that's where we are right now. 10 o'clock hour, Money Matters coming up. Your calls, your questions, so stay tuned. You're listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss. Find me at Wes Moss, WESMOSS.com. More Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 straight ahead.